Welcome to the Fiber for Breakfast podcast, a series that discusses fiber as the critical infrastructure for today's growing broadband needs. Listen in as Gary Bolton, CEO and President of the Fiber Broadband Association, speaks with industry thought leaders and experts about connectivity issues and the impact on the remote workplace. I hope you enjoy today's discussion, which will start momentarily. And remember to subscribe and like this podcast on your favorite platform.
This week's Fiber for Breakfast brought to you by our platinum sponsor, Wesco.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Fiber Broadband Association's Fiber for Breakfast. We're now in our 10th episode of 2024. Before I kick off, I'd like to thank Wesco, the platinum sponsor of Fiber for Breakfast. You know, in Washington, there is an agreement from Congress to pass several appropriations bills to prevent a partial shutdown coming Friday, March 8th. Additional work will be needed to avoid other agencies from shutting down on March 22nd. You know, on Monday, the FCC notified service providers that it does not have the funding to continue the Affordable Connectivity Program, ACP, past April. You know, this is very concerning as millions of people will lose access to the internet. Late last week, the FCC released survey data that 68% or two-thirds of participating households say they had inconsistent connectivity or zero connectivity prior to ACP. The Fiber Broadband Association encourages Congress to appropriate funding to continue this program, which has been an integral in keeping Americans connected to the internet and will allow them to participate in all aspects of the economy and society. The Fiber Broadband Association's next regional Fiber Connect workshop will be held in Little Rock, Arkansas on Tuesday, April 16th. Registration for Little Rock is on record pace, so please sign up today. You're not going to want to miss it. Our upcoming Fiber Connect workshops, in addition to Little Rock, will be in Deer Valley, Utah on June, Des Moines in September, Albuquerque in November. And then we also have, we'll be in Canada, Calgary in, I guess it's October. So look forward to that. And then our big Fiber Connect 2024 conference will be in Nashville, July 28th to 31st. In other news, the Fiber Broadband Association's Trusted Fiber Working Group released its Trusted Fiber White Paper to help Congress and our national security agencies on how to help protect our nation's critical broadband infrastructure. So you can find this on our website, or you'll see on the slide here, there's a link to be able to pull down that white paper. That brings us today's Fiber for Breakfast session with Chen-Fei Wang, the principal analyst and head of wire and cable at CRU Group, who's going to be discussing his latest research findings. Global optical cable demand is poised to grow again in 2024. You know, last week on Fiber for Breakfast, our guest was Tom Cohen, the Fiber Broadband Association's chief regulatory and general counsel and partner at Kelly Dry, who discussed the NTI Build America, Buy America, BABA final waiver, what you really need to know. You know, we had over 1,500 registrants to hear Tom break down the latest BABA waiver. So if you missed it, you can go to the FBA website and watch the replay. Today on Fiber for Breakfast, we have Chen-Fei, the principal analyst and head of wire and cable at the CRU Group. He's going to be discussing his latest research finding, global optical cable demand is poised to grow again in 2024. Chen-Fei is the head of CRU's wire and cable team and works across a full portfolio of products, analyzing key trends and developments in both the metallic wire and cable and the optical fiber industries. He's a principal analyst and the current editor of CRU's Telecom Cable Markets Outlook and Optical Fiber and the Cable Monitor. Chen-Fei joined CRU in early 2019 as an analyst within the wire and cable team. At CRU, Chen-Fei has various editorialship roles, including Wire and Cable Market Outlook and HV and EHV Cable Market Outlook. Prior to CRU, Chen-Fei was working at Rolls-Royce in a variety of engineering leadership roles with a focus on aero engineering technology, development, manufacturing process improvements. Chen-Fei spent 3.5 years at CRU's London office, and he's now in CRU's Shanghai office. So welcome, Chen-Fei, and for audience, please type in your questions as we go, and we'll work them into the Q&A at the end. So with that, I'll turn things over to Chen-Fei.
Well, thanks a lot, Gary. First of all, I'm really delighted to join today's Fiber for Breakfast. So today I'm going to represent CRU to hopefully bring the audience some really useful information about CRU's view on the optical cable market outlooks. And just, you know, very quickly, just for those who may know CRU, we actually been studying fiber optics market in this team for almost 30 years, so has been quite a long time. I won't, you know, spending too much time here, but this is essentially the team that is studying the fiber optics market. It is a very global team, you know, given we all work in the telecommunication industry. I think judging by the phone number, you can tell this is a pretty global and diverse team. So we have analysts in London, in New Delhi, myself in Shanghai, and we also hiring US analysts at the moment. So with this kind of team, we start in the global market, obviously. So let's move on to what's our view on what optical cable consumption. And in this slide, what you can see is our view that has already passed for 2023 and our forecast for this year, which is 2024. And all the data are reported in volume in terms of fiber kilometers, and the growth rate is derived from the volume as well. So starting with a bit of review about what happened last year. Last year, if you're looking at the bottom right part, we actually seen what optical cable demand contracted by 7.1%. So this is a pretty heavy contraction. If you think about the size of this contraction, the last time we have seen such a sharp downturn was back to 2002. So that was the datacom bubble times. So it means this size of contractions was bigger than the COVID period and also bigger than the financial crisis back in 2009. So what has happened? Essentially, if you're looking at the global market, what you can see is there has been almost like a centralized slowdown in a number of key markets. Now, if we're starting with China, which is the largest cable market, accounting 48% of global share, we saw almost 9% contraction last year. And that is mainly due to the fact that China Mobile has slowed or delayed their tender announcement and later also has been very slow in terms of executing that tender. And then if we switch to you know, today's audience, probably more on the North American side. Sorry, not the next slide yet, thank you. So if you look at the North American market, we also seen a 12% down last year. And that is mainly driven by the US market. You know, there's partially driven by the inventory situation, but it's also the fact, given some uncertainty in the market, we have seen a bit of a slowdown or hesitant of investment by some of the carriers last year. Then if we move to, for example, Western European market, it was actually a market holding pretty well in the first half of last year, but in the second half, we've seen a pullback by countries like Germany, by Dutch telecoms, and in UK, and there's more and more off-net players or smaller ISP that is funding that the investment model or the returns of investment, the business model become more challenging in the worsening macroeconomic conditions like the high interest rate. So as a whole, like I said, we've seen a bit of a sharp downturn last year, but now we want to focus on this year. And our view is we believe optical cable demand will grow again by 3.9%. If you look at different markets, we do see a pretty healthy growth in North America. But it is the fact we don't expect this year that demand will surpass the 2022 level yet. We also see some positive development in other markets. So for example, the APAC ex-China market. Recently, India government, like BSNL, just announced the RP for the new phase three of the BharatNet scheme. So this is almost the equivalent of BEAD for that country. It is about rural network connectivities. We also see some positive development, for example, in Middle East, driven by Saudi's infrastructure projects, Vision 2030 projects, and even for China, we do expect a bit of a growth of 3.5% because we have seen shift of some of those China Mobile tender and China Telecom tenders will be more materializing this year. So I talk about the challenge of last year. As a result of that, certainly it has an impact on price. At global level, for the fiber optics industry, if you're looking at fiber drawing or perform making, which is more upstreams, it is known that there is an overcapacity situation, and that's mainly because of China. So what does that mean is because it's an oversupply situation, so whenever there's a bit of slowdown in demand, price will react very fast. And what we're assessing here in CRU is our fiber price index, In CRU, we actually comply to pretty strict international commodity price assessment standards. So what we do is every 2 months, we're collecting fiber price, G652D fiber price from the players, the buyers and sellers from Europe, China and India. What you can clearly see is over the past 12 months, we have seen a quite significantly decrease of fiber price, about 36%. And that is mainly driven by China, because the European price and Indian price nowadays is actually quite influenced by the Chinese fiber price. Although, you know, we see in Europe, the price will be slightly higher than China, India is a little bit in the middle. And recently, we also seen a bit of stabilization in Europe and probably also in China, but the price pressure remains pretty significant. You know, the audience may ask why there's no US price. The simple answer to that is the fact that in the US, the vast majority, probably more than 95% of the fiber deal are done on long-term contract basis. So there's very little spot market to assess the price. But it is also true, although in China, we have seen fiber price not drop to below, you know, $2.5 per fiber kilometers. But in the US, that price is still a lot higher. We still believe the price is above $6 per fiber kilometers. There's a lot of reason behind. Obviously, a key reason is, for example, the BABA requirement, Build American Buy American requirement, making US markets more insulated. And there's also tariff, like the US-China trade wars. And there's also other sort of IP protection that is making US itself is a more insulated market from some of the cheaper fibers outside of the US. In CRU, we also do market survey, and this is called Fiber Optics Cable Index Survey, or we call it FOCI. What we do is we're collecting participant result globally, and we pretty proudly say our involvement of the participant representing for more than 85% of optical cable productions. And of course, there's also other players who joined the survey in the supply chain, either it's chemical, before making fiber drawing, or even the equipment manufacturers. So what we do is we want to measure the market sentiment. The way you use this survey is a bit more like a PMI. So if it's above 100, it means the market is expanding compared to the last months. But if it's below 100, it means market is contracting. I think what is pretty clear on this global view is we've seen the market was the weakest back around September, October last year. And then we've seen some signs of improvement. But I want to highlight, even for the general result, which is 98.9, this is still below 100. It means at a global scale, it means compared to December, the January market activity is still slower than December. So we've seen signs of recovery, but we're certainly not seeing full recovery. Actually, when I do these slides, I don't have the fiber result. The fiber result now is out. It's actually dropped a little bit to around 93.4. So that is another signal. Yes, there is a sign of recovery, but it's not a full market recovery just yet. So this is a little bit a busy slide, but what I want you to probably focus or put attention is on the North America. And obviously, we assess this market survey across all the major markets. We've seen slowdown all sort of occur in the majority of the last year, but the sharpest or the downturn is the heaviest around the sort of the Q3 time. But if we focus on the North America, we also see consistent recovery, especially in January. We first time for quite a while, we've seen that number is above 100. It means there is an expansion compared to the previous months. And it is similar for the fiber result, although it's not as high as 114.3, but it's still above 100. So we do see some clear signal that there is some sense of recovery in the North American market, mainly driven by the US. And that leads naturally to my next slide, to be specifically focusing on the US market a little bit. So let's first look at what's happened last year. If you're looking at the first chart, you can see this is our forecast at a different time of last year compared to current forecast. Initially, back in the beginning of May last year, we thought it would be a short downturn and a quick recovery in 2024. But clearly, as we go by, we see more and more challenging feedbacks on the inventory. In particular, there's such a panic buying back in 2022. In a way, there's a huge inventory build-out that required time to draw down. at the same time, there's less activity investments in the both the fixed broadband networks and also the mobile networks, like 5G development. So it become clear the market downturn is sharper, and we have seen a 14% downturn in the US market last year for cable demand. And we also become slightly more conservative about the recovery this year. Instead of forecasting a double-digit growth, we're now looking at a 5.4% growth. And that is more to do with the timeline of the funding, especially the big funding, which I'm going to talk about next, next slides. But if you're looking at the second chart here, if you're looking at the midterm growth of the US, we are actually very positive. We're looking at US to grow by 12.6% CAGR between 2023 and 2028. And sorry, 2024 and 2029. And over the midterms, this is really the US going to drive the North American market to also grow at a double digit figures over the midterms. So we are positive about the midterms outlooks for this region. So talking about US market, we certainly can't not talk about the big funding. And what's the reason why we're not forecasting a double digit growth this year? So this chart is showing, the first chart is about the funding allocation by the states. We found the funding is pretty much top heavy. So for example, the top five states is accounting for 24% of the funding. And when you add in the top 15 states, that is more than 50% of the funding allocation. So that means whenever those states start to get funding, it will make a quite significant impact to the cable demand. And the second chart is showing where they are in terms of funding approval phase. I'm talking about the first tranche of the funding, which is the release of the 20% at this point in time. Actually, we've seen there's a lot of good progress made by different states. I think we all know Louisiana already passed all the approving process. Now is the first state going to receive the funding. And when we're checking the second chart about 3 months ago, actually, we only saw Louisiana and Virginia is kind of close to the finishing line. Vast majority of other states are pretty at the early stage. But when we start to checking this again about a couple of weeks ago, we certainly see there's a lot of progress has been made by the states here. So we actually see there will be more states get through this finishing line. But at the same time, we still believing in terms of funding release and making an impact on cable demand, this is more likely to happen in the second half of this year, probably more towards Q4. So we are unlikely to see real impacts of big funding to optical cable demand in the first half of this year. So if you look at the first chart here, which is trying to collect some of the major funding programs in the US that is relevant to the fiber connectivity or the fiber demand or cable demand, ESP is the largest program, you know, in 2026, which is the peak years out of the $22 billion funding at this state level. BID is accounting for the vast majority of that. But we also want to remind audience a little bit, it is not just about big funding. There's also a lot of other fundings. There is, for example, the CPI funding. There is also the mid-mile funding, et cetera, et cetera. So for example, for 2024, one of the key reasons recently we hear more positive feedbacks on the demand on the producer side is actually the fact we see at the moment, the incumbent, you know, if you talk about Verizon, AT&T, they probably still relatively slow on the private investment. But at some state level, we see some of the other funding is pushing more utility players and ISPs is actually spending again, which is positive. And the second chart is showing what's really, you know, people keep talking about this build American by American and worry about the supply chain risk again. What we're trying to assess is looking at the bid programs, looking at how many homes they want to pass and try to calculate the average cable density needed. And we try to calculate what's going to be the share of this kind of build American by American required cable demand out of the total US cable demand. And this is a direct impact of the BABA. And we expect it will be peaked in about 2026, that the kind of the government requiring BABA will accounting for around 21% of the US total demand. However, I want to say this is more of a theoretical calculation. In practice, we do believe this share will be a lot higher, probably doubling this share. And the reason behind is also relatively simple. If you think about you are a utility or ISP players, do you want to have quite a complex supplier structure when you have the funding program? It can be geared, it can be mix of projects. Some are private funding, some are government funding. And the concerns, the feedback we're hearing from the market, a lot of those carriers or the customers of the cable makers, they just prefer to have a simply compact fiber. So we generally do believe the bid or the buyback impacts will be higher than that, probably around 40%. But at this point in time, with the waiver passed, we probably don't see a significant supply risk unless we see this is the share to go beyond 40%. So just want to do a quick recap about CR's view on the global optical cable market. We do forecast this year the demand will grow by about 4%, reaching about 557 million fiber kilometers, but this is after a sharp contraction last year. We do see spot fiber price has dropped quite significantly among the major markets like China, Europe, and India. But on the other side, we still see fiber prices holding up pretty well in the US market. In terms of the global sentiment, we have seen an improvement in global sentiment, particularly led by the US market since November last year. And then we have seen a lot of states make really good progress on the bid funding approval process. We even heard rumors that, you know, depends on there's some worry about the general election this year. We may even see perhaps a bit of higher release of the funding in the first round, so it's wait to be confirmed. But largely speaking, at this point, we forecast most of those impact will happen in 2025 onwards, probably not this year yet. And finally, we are pretty optimistic about the US midterm demand, and we actually forecasting US going to be one of the fastest growing market in the midterms among all the major markets. That's all from me, back to Gary.
Well, Chen Fen, that's really interesting. So let me start with, you know, this last year was really confusing, right? Because as you showed, there was a market contraction on fiber. Yet in the US, we had our largest deployment of fiber to the home ever with 9 million homes passed. So are you saying that you think that on the supply side, that inventories are now normalized, or are we still seeing drawdown?
Yeah, first of all, in the US market last year, inventory played a huge role, and that's partially why we've seen the mismatch between the home pass and the actual performance of some of the cable producers. Then if we're talking about is the inventory normalizing, I would say they are improving or improved significantly. I would say at the cable producer side, we do see the inventory is more normalizing, but when we are sort of speaking to some of the cable distributors, we still see some inventory to be worked out. And it's also the fact that the cable distributors and the carriers become a lot more cautious when they rebuy or procure the cable. It's unlike, you know, back in 21, 22, when the market grew at double-digit growth rate. So there's a shortage of cable and fiber, so people want to get hold of inventories. Nowadays, we see even when they see the inventory is getting low, when they procure the new demand, they become more cautious in terms of the volume they procure.
Great. David, can you go back to the second to last slide? Go back a couple slides. Because I think this is one more. I think this is a really important point. So on this slide, the real quick takeaway is while BEAD funding and all the other subsidies, federal subsidies, will kind of peak and, you know, whether it's 2026 or that gets pushed out a little bit, what you're showing is the actual peak from now to 2030, we're gonna continue to rise. And it's going to peak in 2030 and beyond. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, we forecasted up to kind of 2030 now. We think the demand will peak around 2030. And by that time, the demand won't be really driven by BEAD because the assumption is BEAD program will pretty much done. There could be new, you know, funding program from the state government. But what we're also expecting is the market will not solely driven by the fixed broadband networks. There will be also more development on the mobile side. You know, 5G to a certain extent, a little bit disappointing people a bit. You know, the rollout has been a bit slower than expected due to a number of reasons, like the industrial application. But we still see 5G is ongoing. It is more where you see the 5G deployment become stretched longer, and we do see the 5G impacts on the fiber demand will become more significant in the sort of the midterm forecast in our base view.
So one of the things, you know, when I think is really important is fiber pricing. So you're showing that, you know, China and India have dumped tons of fiber into the market. The prices, spot prices for fiber is dropping like a rock. yet in the US, the fiber pricing is pretty, it's not as volatile, it's pretty steady because of long-term contracts. Can you also talk about how the implications of the recent released final BABA waivers, how that applies?
Yeah, certainly. You know, we think that the waivers, although it's a waiver, but from fiber price point of view, I think it will still support the fiber price because it is pretty clear, according to the requirement, the BABA requirement, you need to have your perform making made in the US, fiber made in the US. What does that mean is essentially currently there's only three players who can do that, which is Prysmian, Corning, and OFIs. You know, now the perform is waived in a way that is going to help OFIs, but still we are only talking about three players who can make fiber to be compliant with this requirement. So on that side, we do see it is a support for fiber price. And at any time soon, we also don't really see much of fiber can come from, for example, China or India players. And it's also important to highlight, yes, the price is very low in the East, but that price is more representing the spot price. It's probably not representing the whole market. So for example, when they're talking about the exclusion of China Mobile, China Telecom tender, which is a big volume, they're actually excluding the tender according to the price agreed in the contracts about 6 months ago. And the price back then is a bit better than the current spot price. But certainly at a global level, fiber prices are still under pressure, mainly because of lower demand and overcapacity situation.
A lot of questions about, I don't know if you've broken your forecast. The question is, how does that break down between single mode fiber and multi-mode?
Yes, we do have that data. So we would burn, we break it down to single mode, multi-mode, even to OM1, OM5 for multi-mode, single mode like G65-2 or G65-7. Certainly, you know, someone interested, feel free to come to me to normal. Well, we've seen a split. Basically, last year, if you look at which market sort of hold it best, it is really the data center application plus some of the utility. Utility slowed down a little bit at the end of the years, but the data center application has been very strong. And we continue that trend. Recent feedback is also pointing to a pretty robust, strong growth because we've seen the AI is driving a lot more build-out of data center. It needs high-capacity data center, hyperscaler. There is certainly debate about when you move to, for example, 400 G or 800 G or even higher, do you switch off DAC, do you switch off copper, and when you're choosing between multi-mode and single mode, is multi-mode better or single mode better? We do see there's a bit of tendency, maybe slightly preference for single mode for the super, for the hyperscaler, but certainly there's still a lot of co-location enterprise data center application which require big portion of multi-mode. So the answer is we actually do see a lot stronger positive growth on the multi-mode and some of the other single mode, which is used for the data center applications. The downturn is mainly focusing on the feeder local application, which is more about FTTX and mobile networks applications.
And then last question for you. What are you seeing as far as cable sizes, fiber counts? What's in the highest demand?
Well, fiber counts wise, sorry, could you repeat that question a little bit, Gary?
Yeah, for cable size, what are you seeing? What are the fiber counts that you're seeing in highest demand?
Yeah, at the moment, we see this is an interesting question because the fiber count is very different, depends on the application. In some of the data center application, we see a very, very high fiber counts, you know, above 1,000, even 3,000. In real case, we will see 6,000, but that is very rare. So on that application, we see the fiber count is continuing to grow. On the sort of the feeder local application, you know, if you talk about FTTH, it really depends on where you're rolling out your fiber. If you're talking about last mile connection, the fiber count is pretty low. But I think US at the moment is still at a phase the fiber count is increasing because, you know, it's not fully get to the last mile connection yet. It's still building the backbone networks. It's still building the central office to kind of the node applications. And those fiber counts are still relatively good. I think we have some data is talking about more on average about 150 fiber counts fiber in the US. This is you know, definitely higher than what we see in, for example, in China or in some of the European countries.
Well, Shen-Fei, thank you so much. Really appreciate you sharing your latest research with our audience. very valuable. And it's great to see that fiber is going to continue to be in hot demand for the foreseeable future, just continue to up and to the right. And I want to thank everybody for joining us, and can't wait to get back together next Wednesday, where our guests are going to be Darren Dother, the CEO, and Mike Mazaraka, the Director of Strategy for Baylink Networks. And they're going to tell you what you need to know about nearshore fiber networks. This is a super interesting topic about how to leverage all the local waterways and lakes and so forth to be able to use underwater cable. With that, thanks, everybody. We'll see you guys next week. Shen Fei, thanks again.